Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby. The Rob Brown Show hashtag Friday Football Fiesta is underway, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great Alonzo, and you. Should you wish to be a part of the program now, stellar time to do it. 844-326-3663. That is the number to call in and be a part of the show. That is the number to text the show on the Hub City Spartan Burger text line, 844-326-3663. You can also hit us up on social media. Tweet me on the tweeters. You can drop me a line on Facebook if you like. You can check me out on the gram at The Rob Brown Show across all of them. All of the social media at The Rob Brown Show. Would love to earn and retain your follow on social media. Make sure you hit us up there. Lonzo's on Twitter at Lonzo Onward, WORD. Here's what we got for you coming up the rest of the show. Going to get you some audio here from over the last 24 hours in the Audio Blitz. Next segment, we will continue to run through our college football schedule and make some picks. I have got two big games I'm thinking about. I haven't hit myself. Like, I've got myself real close. Walked right up to the edge of going on upset alert. However, I've walked right up to the edge of two previous upsets so far this year and didn't call either one of them, and I'm real mad about it. So we'll see. Maybe I'll just push myself over the ledge. We'll talk some upsets potentially this weekend.
Help with that?
No, but the
not for me. I mean, there's
energy with which you said that is disturbing.
No, I was going to find somebody who would, because I would never. I would pull you back from your plain white T-shirt, grab by the scruff of the neck, and pull you back from the edge.
It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, big metaphor. I'm fine, everybody. Sometimes. So, we got that.
How can
we got
you be
that
fine with the mustache?
Rashad Beard coming up at 8:40 this morning. We'll get his thoughts on last week's win for the Carolina Panthers and if they can bring that same energy against the Patriots on the road in Foxborough, Massachusetts this weekend. 9 o'clock, Move of the Chains boys going to stop by, set you up for the Friday football high school weekend, and then Denton Day.
You said boys. Do we know? Are we getting multiples, or are we just getting Kevin?
You know, I got to say, I'm going to say, if they run us with just one of them this week, I'm just going to assume that they think they've outgrown the Rob Brown Show. And that's fine. That's okay.
Or they're boycotting Kevin.
I mean, Kevin's the only one that showed up last week.
Yeah, I know, but see, they haven't been on with it.
If Jarrell and John show up today and no Kevin, then we'll have drama.
There we go.
Then we start to sip the tea. That's at 9 o'clock, 9:20 a.m. Denton Day is the host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime. He will join us at 9:20, give us his thoughts for the weekend. It is going to be a day. Let's get some audio in here. We had a we had a very interesting day yesterday with audio. I'll start with this one. We talked a little bit about it. It is, ladies and gentlemen, Ryder Cup Friday. Why am I excited about the Ryder Cup? Well, I would tell you. Or I can let European team captain Luke Donald lay it out. Yeah, let's go. That is the hype-up speech for Team Europe. And now wow. I'm like, let's go beat that ass,
wow.
boys.
Wow. That sounds more like concession speech. You come here to get your butt whipped. That's what you're going to do.
Do you listen? I mean, or did you just hear a British accent and go, 1776? Ah! Because that's what I feel like happened.
It's us against them, right?
Yes.
So I'm not going to, oh, fine speech, my good man. It's just wonderful. I love every second of it. No, no.
Are you a chimney sweep? Is that your default British? Is like,
yeah, Cockney. I got
okay. All right, just making sure that's what I was hearing there.
Listen. If I were born in England, I would be born in the poor part of England. So I mean, you know, I'm just kind of, you know. So
fair enough.
Definitely would have a Cockney accent.
Automatic balls and strikes coming to Major League Baseball starting next year. I'm gassed about it. I'm really excited about it. At the end of the show yesterday, I said there is something. I don't care. Boo all you want. It's happening. And it's going to happen on the two challenge system moving forward. Eventually, it will eventually become fully automated, but we'll worry about that. I'm just happy for what I can get where I can get it. I said yesterday, one of the things I'm very interested in is the way teams are going to handle their two challenges. Is this going to be only vets can challenge? Is it going to be reserved for only pitchers? We want to save those two challenges for pitchers to use. Only batters can choose. Like, how do you decide? Because remember, coaches don't call them. Only pitchers, batters, catchers can call them. Well, yesterday on the Foul Territory podcast, we had a couple of former players who jumped in and talked about it. AJ Pierzynski and Eric Kratz. The challenge system averaged about 30, less than 30 seconds per challenge. So if you have 10 challenges in a game, you have lengthened the game by 5 minutes. So I don't want to hear that argument again. If you're going to sit through a baseball game, 5 more minutes ain't going to kill you. All right. Second off, we don't have a lot of umpires that are regular. And he did like this, like regularly missing by that much. No, we don't. But we have umpires who are regularly missing by that much. And those are the umpires that pitchers love or batters love because it's this and it's that. No, if it's a strike, it's a strike. And if it's a ball, it's a ball. I don't understand how this is that complicated. This is good. And being on a challenge system, all of you who like wrong calls, I'm sorry, the human element, you're still in control of 90% of the game. But now the people like me who go, that's an egregious call, and C.B. Buckner should be embarrassed for having made it, now he gets to be embarrassed for having made it.
Yeah, but just like challenges in the NFL, knowing when to make that challenge is going to be very difficult. And then because if officiating is as bad as you say it is in baseball, after you make the challenge, and let's say it fails and you don't get one back, and then something comes up that's egregious, you can't do anything.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. Like, if you're the nine-hole hitter, you're the guy at the bottom of the lineup, and you're up there, and let's say you've got, you're in the fifth, you got your leadoff, you got Juan Soto coming up next. What happens if you blow the challenge? And then what happens if he gets called out on an outside pitch and you don't have the challenge? Like, this is going to be very interesting.
And don't you also have to deal with the rest of the team being mad at you? Like, why'd you do that
That's part of it.
Including the coaching staff, since you said that they cannot be involved. They're still going to be mad at you for doing something stupid.
Yeah, that's part of it. If you're the nine-hole hitter, you're the worst hitter in the lineup, and you call a challenge because you think you got rung up on an outside ball and you lose it, and now you can't do that later. Again, like, there may be some coaches who go to the nine-hole batter and go, you do not challenge anything. I don't care if you are called out by a ball that is 10 miles outside of the zone. You do not challenge anything.
I think because of that, there's going to be a reluctance to use it.
That's part of the reason they only gave him two. All right, we'll come back to that because I do like that discussion. Let me get a couple more in here. Let's go with... Man, I'm back and forth because I'm running out of time here. All right, let's go with this one. Mike Allstott. You remember Mike Allstott? Mike Allstott was Cam Scataboo, but like an actual football
thing that Boomer used to do.
Mike Allstott was a dog. There was only one problem with Mike Allstott. He played in my division.
Yeah, he was a linebacker playing
fullback
for sure.
He got asked yesterday, how come they ain't no more fullbacks? You know, I thought about this a lot last night. Why aren't there like classic fullbacks anymore? And doesn't it feel like at this point, it would be beneficial to have a classic fullback? And I've got a couple of thoughts, and I don't know if any of them are accurate or not. One is, D linemen are bigger than hell now, right? Like, this is interesting too. This leads me to this thought. Tampa Bay just re-signed. You remember the kid Tampa Bay signed from Florida? The 400-plus pounder?
Yeah, really large individual, yes.
Yeah, and I'm blanking on his name right now, and I apologize for that. But he's north of 400 pounds.
We'll remember his name when he plays.
Yeah, they just signed him. back to the team. Remember, they cut him going in. They basically said, you got to lose weight to practice. You can't practice. You can't get signed. They didn't sign him, but they said, if you lose the weight, like, we'll bring you back. They just brought him back. Who's Tampa play this weekend? Philadelphia. The Tush Pushers.
Oh, I thought he was just on the practice squad. Is he? Are you?
Oh, no, he is right now.
Okay.
But they can elevate him.
All right.
What happens if Tampa Bay goes, surprise, and they stick a 450-pounder at the nose tackle in front of the Eagles' D-lineman and put two linebackers on his ass?
I don't know. It depends on how quick he is out of his stance or falling forward. I mean.
You can get a jump on 450. That don't make it easy to move. Don't make it easy to move. We'll see. I'm interested. Maybe they kind of sneak one up on us there. We will find out. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know why there aren't fullbacks anymore. I think one is, like, there's big guys across the D-line. Number two, linebackers are stronger than they were when Mike Allstott was playing, too. I don't think you can do stronger than Allstott, but I think linebackers and D-linemen are bigger and stronger than they were when he played.
Fullbacks classically were not like Allstott. They were just there to block, just like tight ends were back in the day. So, I mean, you don't want a guy in there who can't catch the ball and do other things like that, because all these other backs that have replaced the fullback, they can do that.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, let's get one or two more in here. Deion Sanders was asked, do you get mad, especially when you're winning, when Colorado fans leave the stadium earlier? Deion says, I don't care if we're winning the game. I don't care if you leave early and go get your party on. I don't care. If it's out of hand and you're leaving early, go get your party on. On one hand, I'm a member of the 000 Club. On the other hand, that's pretty cool of Deion to be like, look, dude, we get it.
All
we get
I can
it.
Say is if Rob were there, he'd be up on that hill.
I don't know what the hill is or where the hill is. I don't know what the hill, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'd be up in the middle, Raisin Hill, if I got the opportunity. I actually really do want to go to a game at Boulder. I'm not going to lie. Like, all the commentary, all the talk, I kind of want to go to a game at Colorado.
Unless you want contact high, you got to figure out where to sit to not, because he's all...
He's also said the stadium
smells
like weed all the time. I mean, we'll see. All right, I got a few more things I'm going to get to later on in the show, but I actually want to revise something, because we're going to talk to Denton Day in a little over an hour and get his thoughts on college football. I had a thought last night because... I came across a clip of a CBS talking head who was having a conversation about a coach. And as he was talking about this coach, all I heard was him talking about Dabo. And I went, is this perhaps a preview of things to come? And I don't know the answer to that. So I'm going to play you the audio. I'm going to give you my reaction to it, which is I could bleep the name and you could assume he's talking about Dabo, which I'm going to do next when we come back. I'm Rob. He's the great Alonzo. We got that conversation. Then we got Rashad Beard talking Panthers. Then we got Moving the Chains talking high school. Then we got Denton Day talking college football. Then we end the show with our picks, predictions, previews, and prognostications for the weekend. All of that on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
So yesterday was getting ready to do the show today. And you know, I flip around and listen to a lot of different takes from a lot of different people about a lot of different things. And I kind of form my opinions based on their opinions. Why not? Sports media. So, damn, John Rahm just stuck that thing. He was in, y'all, I mean, knee-high, whatever that crap's called, weeds.
He was out out in the jungle.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's some pretty tall.
Had to hit through a runway of people.
It's like what your yard looks like when you don't cut it for a while.
No, it's what your yard looks like when you don't cut it for a while.
I didn't mean you specifically.
What a dart. I mean, beautiful shot. Up and over a hill, over some bunkers. All right, I'll come back to that. Team Europe leads into Team USA, leads into Rahm and Hatton down to DeChambeau and Thomas through five. Auberg and Fitzpatrick up on Scheffler and Henley, though Henley is here to hit a birdie and tie the hole. He will miss it. So now Auberg and Fitzpatrick up two on Scheffler and Henley. If Scotty Scheffler is the one guy that loses today, that would be wild. McIlroy and Fleetwood through three, up one on Morikawa and English, and McIntyre and Hovland trail Schauffele and Cantlay by one through two. So we'll update you on the leaderboard a little bit more in the next hour. But blah, blah, blah. Was listening yesterday to some college football discussion. And we talked about Dabo yesterday on the show. And I asked Clemson fans the question, is it fair or unfair to say Dabo Swinney is a great motivator, a great recruiter, but not a good coach. And he's been carried by having great coordinators. Now, a lot of Clemson fans took that as offensive. It's not meant to be. It's not meant to be. The evaluation and placement of the right people in the right jobs at the right time, that's a skill in and of itself. That is a difficult thing to get right and a difficult thing to get right and then retain and keep those people. Dabo Swinney did it for a long time, but the problem is he hasn't gotten it right since then, if you believe that is the theory. So I said, is it fair to say that maybe Dabo Swinney is not a great coach? Great motivator, great recruiter, and that's part of coaching. But in 2025, you have got to be complete and well-rounded. Acquisition, retainment, development, and on-field execution. And we're not executing right now if you're the Clemson Tigers. I don't think anybody can say you are. So Mike Gundy got fired earlier this week. And Richard Johnson, who is a talking head on CBS, had a take on Mike Gundy. Now, you may not agree, but I want you to listen to this argument. And every time that he says, Mike Gundy, I would like you to replace it with Dabo Swinney. And every time he says, Oklahoma State, I would like you to replace it with Clemson. And I would like you to hear this argument, replacing Gundy with Swinney and replacing Clemson with Oklahoma State, and tell me that if I would have bleeped out every name and every school name, you wouldn't have been able to at least think this was about Dabo Swinney. So, the two thoughts I had about that are, number one, if I replaced every time he said Mike Gundy with Dabo Swinney, and I replaced every time he said Oklahoma State with Clemson, you could very much convince me he was having a conversation about Dabo Swinney.
Yeah, I can't. I just can't buy that because Dabo and Clemson have won a couple of championships. So,
well,
I mean,
That goes into second point.
Okay.
Because I do think what you have to do in order to make that work is you have to look relative to programs. Oklahoma State was under Mike Gundy a couple of years back, the best Oklahoma State's ever been. They're not, at least not, maybe they could have during like the end of the T-Boone Pickens days. I don't think Oklahoma State, sitting right there in the middle of Texas A&M, Oklahoma, whatever, I'm not saying they'll never be championship material, but it's going to be a hill to climb. This is one of the things that I've said about the ability to retain coaches for a school like a South Carolina. You at least are kind of only bordered on the West. Like to the East, it's pretty much wide open recruiting for you. A team like Oklahoma State, Oklahoma's there, Texas is there, Texas A&M is there, SMU is there, TCU is there. Like all these other schools are right there in your recruit. It's going to be hard to win there, and it's especially going to be hard to win if you take these other tools, NIL, the portal, whatever, off the table. And while it probably wasn't broadcasted as much because of the fact that Oklahoma State's not a blue blood powerhouse like Clemson developed itself into under Dabo Swinney, Oklahoma State did hit its pinnacle on the football field under Mike Gundy. And clearly, Mike Gundy was not in favor of the things that Dabo Swinney is not particularly in favor of. And my biggest fear, I'm not saying that this is an inevitable conclusion, but my biggest fear is if what is happening at Clemson is not evolved, is not adapted, is not moved forward to the 2025, or hell, at this point, 2026 football season, if it is not evolved to where football is going, not where you want it to be, this is kind of one of those times where you have to look and say, life's not fair. You may think that this is the way it should be, it was, and it forever. You have two choices. You evolve or you die. So, my biggest fear is that, much like Mike Gundy, I've got a dear friend of mine who is an Okie State Cowboy fan, played baseball there. And I texted him the day that Mike Gundy got fired. And I said, "You okay, bud?" And he was like, "Eh." And I went back, I said, I kind of assumed Mike Gundy had a lifetime contract. And he goes, "We all thought he did too, but it got real bad, man. We got real bad." And considering you're now at the point where every time that you fail to get better in a year, other teams are passing you up because they are. He said, "I thought Mike Gundy was going to be a lifer as well, but it just got bad. The recruiting tanked off. We weren't getting guys. We're losing to Tulsa. With all due respect to Tulsa, you can't lose. If you're a Power 4 team, you can't lose to Tulsa." He lost to Tulsa. So the thought that I had is the absolute worst case scenario, if nothing changes, and don't start with me about the recruiting and all that, because DJ Uiagalelei was going to be the next Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback for Clemson, and then Cade Klubnik was going to be the next Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback for Clemson. You're 0-2 in those two guys. 0-2. So don't hit me with, "Well, don't worry, Rob, Chris Fazina is going to be the next Heisman winning quarterback at Clemson," because the last two guys were going to be that too, and it ain't worked. So my fear for you, Clemson fans, and again, Dabo lifer, absolutely. Understand it. Got no problem with you calling him that. But what if he's Mike Gundy? What if he's Mike Gundy? You say, "We reached our zenith." And granted, our zenith was higher than Oklahoma State's. It's higher than most schools ever are. We reached our zenith. We won two natties, played for four, won a pair of them. And Dabo Swinney earned a contract for life. What happens if, despite the calls to modernize, and I'm not even just talking transfer portal and NIL, because I'm talking about your offense. I'm talking about your offense. I'm talking about the boring, the predictable, the uninspiring, the vanilla, the why did you pay Garrett Riley all that money to just run the same offense that you ran the last couple of years? If that doesn't evolve, modernize, adapt to modern college football, I am terrified for you that in 8, 9, 10 years, you're Oklahoma State and Dabo's Mike Gundy. And they go, "We thought he was a lifer. We thought he'd be around forever. But at the end of the day, he just wouldn't adapt. He just wouldn't change it up." I heard 2 days ago, there was a college show down in Gainesville. There was a college football show I was listening to down in Gainesville. They are going through it emotionally down there. And one of the hosts said to the other host, "You know what we should do? We should get on the horn. We should call up Dabo Swinney. He's clearly unhappy. We should call up Dabo Swinney and say, come on down to Florida." And the other host goes, "Why will we do that? Why will we do that? Is Dabo going to come here and modernize what we have going on? Like, is he going to fix it? They have problems just like us. That's where you want to go? You want to get rid of our 1-3 coach to hire a 1-3 coach because he won championships a half a decade ago? That's what you want to do?" And the other guy went, "Oh, okay, good." They went back and forth. That's my fear.
Wow.
That's my fear.
Wow.
Texture says, "Whatever wild scenarios you come up with won't change the fact that Dabo isn't leaving Clemson and will not fire him. Let it go, Rob." I'm not saying they will or won't, but Oklahoma State said that about Mike Gundy when Mike Gundy had that team winning 8-4, 9-3, a couple of 10-2 type seasons. They said the same thing.
This more puts me in mind of Bobby Bowden than anybody, right?
That's also fair.
I mean, a legend for a long time, but eventually had to go.
Yeah. And for the record, I am, and this is a true story, I am still, unless they've changed it without telling me, I am banned from participating in Panama City, Florida State Seminole Booster Club meetings. Now, I went to Booster Club meetings for the Gators, for the Tide, for the War Eagles, for the Seminoles, everybody that was in the Panhandle. When I was doing my show down there, they would have me come out and like talk or MC events or whatever. I went to a Florida State one time towards the end of the Bobby Bowden era. And they said, Rob, what do we need to do to get back on top? And I said, you're not going to like me, but you have to fire Bobby Bowden. The game is, it's not just the game has passed him by. It passed him by years ago. And it's just a hanger on now. He's not even really running the team. Your coordinators are. But he's still trying to micromanage them while they try to coach this team. You have to move on from Bobby Bowden if you ever want to be good again. And they were not happy. I got run up out of that booster club. Was never invited back. And then they fired him. And then they got Jimbo Fisher. And they ended up, again, years later. But again, won a national championship. So, he ain't Bobby Bowden. As he pointed out the other day, he's only 55. He ain't an old grandpa just yet. But at the same time, it is very clear that a modernization of the program is required. And if he's unwilling to do it, the worst case scenario for Clemson is that Dabo becomes Mike Gundy and you become Oklahoma State. And 5-10 years from now, you're going, how'd we fall off this bad? We'll see. All right, your thoughts, Clemson fans, 844-326-3663. When we come back, Rashad Beard is the host of the Panther Nation podcast. Still tied at 2 matches apiece. DeChambeau and Thomas up on John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton. Scheffler and Henley trail by 3. How is Scottie Scheffler 3 in the hole? Not a great start.
Because he's not in the hole, probably.
Good. What is happening up here? All right, we're tied at 2. The Americans up 1-1. The Europeans up 3-2.
What, did they find a spider or something?
No, it's they are trying to determine, like, do they get relief, see how it's up on the stick?
Oh, okay.
Do we get hazard relief and all that? Right. Golf's dumb, and also I love it. Rashad Beard next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I would like to point out and hope that it does not change anything that over the course of the last couple of segments, Lonzo has progressively paid more and more attention to shot-by-shot coverage of the Ryder Cup. I think I got him. He doesn't know it yet.
You
I think I've got the
me.
Hook set.
Listen, I am just trying to help you. I'm being a good teammate here in case you didn't see it so I can point it out.
Ryder Cup underway at Bethpage Black in New York, but that's not what we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen. It is our hashtag
Save us, Rashad.
Friday Football Fiesta. And if you are a Carolina Panther fan, it may have felt like a party this week because Rashad Beard, not only did the boys get dub number one, but they put belt to ass with a 30-0 shutout over Atlanta. Let's make the easy one easy out of the gate, buddy. How we doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. What a great W. The Panther Nation needed that performance from our Carolina Panthers. So I'm happy. Hopefully it was something we could build on moving forward.
That is a game. You came in as a dog. Atlanta was, I think, kind of feeling themselves just a little bit. Rashad, it's not just a win. It's not even just a big win. To pitch the shutout like that from a team that I've been saying for a while, offense is probably going to, in some spots, have to maybe put up points to carry a defense that's still kind of growing and developing. What a friggin' showing from the boys on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, I think this is something that the defense has been building to. You know, over the past couple of games, even you look at the Arizona Cardinals game, I said after that game that the defense did enough to win that game. The defense turned the football over, and the defense did a wonderful job again against the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons did not even get past our 30-yard line, which is very, very impressive. They put Michael Penix in a blender. He didn't know what he was looking at. He looked amateur out there. And shout out to Evero, man. Evero and those guys did a great job game planning. The defense did a wonderful job executing. And I'm happy. So I know there's been a lot of criticism about Evero and the defense over the past couple of years, and rightfully so. But the defense is coming along, and I think we all said it, right? Derrick Brown, getting Derrick Brown back, and some of the additions that we had in the offseason, Trevon Merrick. I mean, these guys are playing really good football. So every time I get on this show, I really want to hype up the defense because they were getting dragged so bad. So they're playing well, and they deserve a little bit of credit here.
All right. Really quick. I mean, I get what you're saying about the defense, but mm-hmm. we know who the true victor is. We know who the coaching staff remembered they had a running game and discovered that Rico Dowdle he's a pretty good running back. I know Chuba's good too, but Rico Dowdle.
Oh yeah. So I agree with you. Rico he looked really impressive, very aggressive running the football. I left that game saying I want to see more, and it's a great problem to have when you have Chuba and Rico. It's going to be a tough once it gets going, and I know it's a little bit tough for us because we did lose a couple of offensive linemen, specifically Robert Hunt. Robert Hunt is going to be gone probably until close to the end of the season. He was our road grader, and so we have to find out a way to still run the football. We got a challenge coming up next week, but I definitely agree with you, Zoe. I left that game saying I need to see more Rico, and it's just a great problem to have. And I agree, we have to run the football more for sure.
I got a chance before the season started to do an interview with Rico Dowdle. I mean, I'm talking like a day after he signed up with the Panthers. And when I talked to that cat and asked him, like, what are you trying to accomplish here? What is your goal? He kind of gave the pretty standard answer, Rashad, of, you know, I want to fit in the team where my role is, and I want to be the best at that or whatever. But, man, in talking with this dude before and after the interview, you could tell, like, there was a desire to prove. And I don't know if it was to prove to Dallas that they bleeped up, or prove to Carolina that they made the right call, or prove that, because the dude's had a history of injuries dating to his time down here in South Carolina, prove that he is that guy that everybody thought he might be before the knees started acting up on him. He's a hard guy not to root for, Rashad. And if he can stack games like this one together, all of a sudden you guys end up with, holy crap, maybe that's a pretty good 1-2 punch between he and Chuba.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like you said, Rico had a 1,000-yard season with the the Cowboys last year. And the only reason why Rico is here is because of the injury to Jonathan Brooks, who we are missing. And so I don't know if Rico's going to be here long term. Obviously, we're not going to pay two running backs, but he is a short term patch, and it's a good one to have. And again, we're going to have to see what happens with him moving forward. But I am interested to see Jonathan Brooks when he comes back. So again, just this is how you build a roster. This is successful roster building by the Carolina Panthers when you have guys to step up. So I'm happy with Dan Morgan and what they did to fix that running back room after Jonathan Brooks went down.
Totally agree. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. I don't want to get into this because it makes me sad, Rashad, but I also think we have to. I saw the locker room interview with Xavier Legette. First off, I saw XL on the bench after a McMillan catch when he came and sat down, and he looked like he was just going through it. And then I saw the interview, I think Sheena Quick and some of the other reporters there, and they're just asking him, like, where are you? Is it mental, physical? How you can? And the dude just looks defeated, Rashad. Like, he looks beaten. I don't know what to make of this scenario. I hope he figures it out, but I'm not seeing anything right now that makes me think he can or will.
Yeah, I agree. That was one of the toughest interviews. I mean, from a guy that seems so jovial and happy all the time, that was not a good interview to watch. I mean, he seemed, like you said, he did seem defeated. He seemed perturbed, and the people that are, you know, kind of close to him, when you talk about guys like Steve Smith Sr. that know him, it's all up here, right? It's all mental. And so I'm hoping he can get over the hump. You know, all guys have to go through this, whether it's sooner rather than later, that you got to get over that hump. So I mean, he's talented, man. He's built like a tank. He's fast. He's got to get his hands right. But I think we got to develop. Obviously, with him being a first-round pick, it's only year two. We can't give up on him for sure. But it'd be great to see him kind of get over this hump and what better week than week four against the Patriots? I don't know what else to say. I know he's dealing with the hamstring injury right now, but I definitely want to see him get it together for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. We're obviously all fans here, but yeah, that one was painful to watch. Let's turn our attention to New England. This team is very interesting because they take the L to Pittsburgh last week, Rashad Beard, but they also had like five turnovers in this game. Ramondre Stevenson was fun, but like this team couldn't hang on to the football, which you have to assume becomes their point of emphasis coming into this game, is protect the ball. We can't do that again. What is your take on the Carolina defense that shut out Atlanta last week? Can they bring that same energy against New England this week? Are we taking a step up in challenge level? Will we see them respond to it?
Yeah, I think definitely taking a little bit of step up. May is a gunslinger. They're doing really well in the pass offense. So we're going to have to tighten up. And again, I don't think the Patriots have seen a secondary like the Carolina. I can't even believe I'm saying that. but I don't believe that Drake May and company have seen a secondary like the Carolina Panthers. J.C. Horn, Mike Jackson, one of the best tandems in football right now. That statistically. Our pass defense is really good. You got Trevon Merrick in the secondary, as a safety position. So I think it's going to be a challenge for them. I think we have to continue to stop the run, and we have to be better. We have to be better. And again, Ramondre Stevenson they have a bunch of turnovers last game. They've continued to turn the football over. Drake May has even turned the football over. We have been advantageous in turning the football over. I can't believe I'm saying that. I think we're like top two in takeaways right now. I can't even believe this interview is happening and me giving all the praise to this defense. I'm serious. Like they are doing a wonderful job. And at this point, and I know we're talking about the defense and giving them a lot of praise. At this point, I think the question lies in the offense, because yes, we put up 30, but defense put up some points too. And so we have to turn the page to the offense and see if Bryce Young can score in the red zone and we can get the run game going consistently and not abandon it, et cetera. So I'm not as concerned with the defense. My concern is more so on the offense side of football.
I think it is fair. That was a takeaway I had as well. Now, granted, kind of rough to say my questions about the offense when they went out there and hung 30 on the Birds this past weekend, but I would also point out that Atlanta, kind of like you guys, like good defensive backfield, kind of growing across the front seven and finding themselves a little bit. You got Mike Vrabel's New England Patriots this weekend. Yep. You know what they do. They're going to stack the box many times. They're going to bring some exotic looks and try to get BY out of sorts a little bit. What'd you see in that 30-point put up last week that you think needs to be expanded on against New England's defense?
Yeah, I think that they have some injuries in the secondary. You know, you got Christian Gonzalez who's probably coming back from injury. So their secondary is going to take a little bit of a step up. They do have a very, very good run defense statistically. Now, I also say this. I don't think they've seen a run game like ours with Rico and Chuba. So I think it'll be a little bit of a challenge. I think it's strength versus strength. Their run defense versus hopefully our run offense. But I think we have to continue to run the football. Bryce has to continue to get rid of the football quick. And you've got to attack vertically. We have to get T-Mac going. T-Mac, now he's dealing with some dropsies. Of course, we expect that from a rookie. We've got to get him to consistently catch the football, two hands preferably. He's going with the cute one hands oftentimes. Let's put two hands on the football and see if we can bring some of those down. But catching the football, I think Bryce has got to get a little bit more accurate in some cases. He's throwing the football behind. I've seen, you know, maybe him and Hunter Renfrow not quite on the same page in some instances, but I think we're getting there. I think the offense is coming along, and they're moving the football. Just continue to run the football. Do not abandon the run. I think that's the biggest thing I want to see them do, is not abandon the run, even when it's tough, right? Even when it's not working, you have got to consistently wear that defense down. So run the football, take what the defense is giving you, and attack when you can.
Prediction?
Prediction, man. I'm tough because I have no expectations, right? I don't want to set myself up to say, oh, this is going to be great. We played so well last week and it's going to translate to this week. I'm kind of taking it week to week, but I think it's a winnable game. I don't necessarily have a score, but I go Panthers dub.
I respect it. Panthers on the road at the Patriots. It's a big one. We're going to talk more about it later on in the show. Rashad Beard hosts the Panther Nation podcast. You can find him on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, take it on over to YouTube, search, subscribe, hit the bell. They're live all the time. Great point from Buddha real quick. How you feel about Jimmy Horn working into the rotation a little bit here?
Yeah, I think Jimmy's got, from the word on the street, Jimmy got a little ways to go from a physicality standpoint. I think he's got to get bigger, find a way to contribute on special teams. But yeah, I think it's gonna take some time. I know we were excited about seeing him, but I think it's gonna take some time for him to get on the field.
Fair enough. That's a good answer. I respect it. Yeah. Rashad, my guy, enjoy the weekend. I hope you're back complimenting the defense again next week. What a weird thing to happen here on the show. The
same. Yeah, I would love more compliments for the defense, for sure.
Rashad Beard, Panther Nation Podcast. Follow them on YouTube. Big Dog, appreciate it. Talk to you next week, brother.
Appreciate you guys.
Always. Rashad is a legend. Appreciate him pulling up every single Friday to talk Panther football with us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Up. So we got to run to a break. When we come back, we talk more football. High school football this time as the fellows from the Moving the Chains podcast joins us. We are suddenly getting our asses whipped all of a sudden. Just like that.
He's talking about golf. He's not talking about high school football.
Ryder Cup, yes.
Yeah, because he was talking high school football. And then,
Scotty Scheffler's three down through seven. That's not the start we wanted, kids. Moving the Chains next. Sports Flash. Make me feel better, Alonzo.
The Seattle Seahawks gave up a 14-point advantage in the third quarter, but hit a 52-yard field goal as time expired for a 23-20 win over Arizona last night. In the last minute, Sam Darnold hit Jackson Smith Njigma from The Ohio State University for a 22-yard gain to set up the Jason Myers walk-off for the eighth consecutive win over the Cardinals. Sam Darnold threw for 242 yards and a touchdown in the win. The LA Lakers have extended the contract of head coach J.J. Redick. Though terms were not disclosed, Redick led the Lakers to a 50-32 record last year, third in the West, and first-round playoff loss to Minnesota. The final weekend of MLB's regular season is upon us with playoff spots and seeding on the line. So far, the Seattle Mariners have clinched the AL West, with the Blue Jays and Yankees tied for the AL East, and Boston three games back, and Cleveland and Detroit tied in the Central, with all other teams eliminated. Hour number four coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.